and never tell what we're going to get when we turn on the microphone. Today we have the beautiful account of the double healing, the raising of the little girl from death back to life, and the healing of the woman who was hemorrhaging for 12 years. And in the first reading, we have the beautiful, tender passage about God alluring or wooing his beloved, the people of Israel. Part of what strikes me in these readings and also in yesterday's readings is how the most fundamental human experiences are all ways in which God touches us or tries to touch us, ways in which God reveals himself to us. So the most fundamental things like sickness and death, which everyone experiences, or like courtship and marriage, which everyone knows what it is. Everyone knows that desire of the man to woo his beloved. Or in yesterday's first reading, there was that also tender passage from the prophet Isaiah about the holy city using the image of a nursing mother. Everybody knows what a nursing mother is and how tenderly a mother fondles her own child on her lap. In the gospel yesterday, Jesus sent out the 72 to bring peace. Everyone knows what peace is, or they know the experience of peace. He sent them to cure sicknesses. That's what we all want. And so throughout the scriptures, we have this awareness, or we should have this awareness, that the most fundamental things, fathers and children, mothers and children, fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, basic human realities which everybody knows, even people who don't know their parents or who never have gotten married or who have never had children, everyone knows these things. They're so fundamental, which means we all have access to knowledge about God. Even if we never knew our father, we know what a father is, and so we have a built-in understanding of God. Even if we never knew our mother, we know what a mother is. And so we have a built-in understanding of the tender care that God has for us. Even if we're not married or never had this kind of relationship that Hosea is talking about, we know what it is. We just have to watch one movie out of Hollywood. You know, God uses everything. Family relationships. And also the negative things that are common in life. Sickness, divisions, wars, death. We know what these things are, and we know what turns us off about them. And they give us insight into sin, the sin condition, and our need for a savior. So all these things are present throughout the scriptures. Now in today's gospel, the young girl is raised back to life, an extraordinary miracle. The woman who had been sick for 12 years is instantly cured when she touches the tassel on Jesus' cloak. It's a extraordinary miracle. Part of Jesus' public ministry was healing people and raising the dead. But he didn't cure everybody, and he didn't raise everybody back to life. While he was healing this girl, there were other young children who had died, and they didn't get raised back to life. And we don't know why that is, why God cures some people and not others. That's a mystery beyond our understanding, because it's a mystery that is connected to God's eternal plan for us. What looks like a failure on God's part, or it looks like lack of love on God's part, is because we have such a limited view of what God is really doing. So we don't know why God heals some people and not others. But in the Gospels, one of the reasons why Jesus doesn't heal is when there is lack of faith. Remember when he went to Nazareth and he was rejected there, and the Gospels say he didn't work many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Or in some translations, he couldn't work many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Of course he could, he had the power, but without faith, there's no opening. That's the negative description of it. On the positive side, we see this gospel. Where there's faith, there's an opening for God to do extraordinary things. This man approaching Jesus says, "My daughter has just died. But come, lay your hand on her and she will live." That's extraordinary faith. To think that this man Jesus, this itinerant rabbi, could raise a dead person to life by laying his hand on her? You see the opening that this father made in his faith, this space that was created by his faith, and Jesus responded to that. When he got to the house and all the people were making a commotion in their wailing about the death of the child, which is understandable, although in those days sometimes they hired people to do the mourning, make the noise, flute players and everybody. But anyway, it's understandable that people would mourn. Now, who wouldn't cry the death of a child? But Jesus says, "Go away." He sends away the people who don't have faith. He welcomes the people who have faith, and it's the people who have faith who make space for him to work miracles. The woman with the hemorrhage is also a woman of faith. She has in her mind, now she's been sick for 12 years, so she's had a lot of disappointments. She's said lots of prayers. Nothing has helped her, but she still has enough faith to say, "This man, Jesus, he's a contact point with divine healing power. If I just touch the tassel of his cloak, I will be cured." It's an extraordinary thing to say. Where did she get that idea? Faith was planted in her heart, and she opened her heart with that faith to make space for God to cure her. Now, it doesn't mean that every time we make an act of faith, we're going to get what we ask for. It doesn't mean that. We know that people of great faith, the greatest of saints, prayed for many things and they didn't get what they asked for. So it's not a mechanical response that if we have faith, God has to do what we say. What faith does is it submits us to God. By faith, we submit ourselves to God. That's why I say it's like opening a space or opening a door. Jesus says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell a tree to be transferred into the sea. In other words, just a little bit of faith, just a little opening in the door, is enough for God to do extraordinary things. And that's what we see here. Faith. And that's why Jesus, in responding to the woman who was cured of her hemorrhage, says, "Your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you." It's an interesting thing to say. He's the one who cured her. God cured her. But Jesus says, "Your faith saved you." And this is because faith is this collaboration, this willingness to allow God to work. God can do anything he wants, anytime he wants. That's what it means to be God. But he looks for people who are willing to accept his authority, his power, his mercy, his love, his presence, his tenderness. Let's take a look at this first reading again. Hosea, well, the Lord speaking through Hosea starts out with this line, I will allure her, I will lead her into the desert and speak to her heart. It's the language of the husband whose wife has gone astray, but he wants to win her back. He wants to attract her back. This is an image God uses to describe his love for us, his people. So I said at the beginning, human experiences like marriage or courtship or reconciling married couples, we think of this as part of the human experience. Yes, but it's part of the human experience because it's part of our being made in the image and likeness of God. That experience of being wooed by God, we understand it because we know what it means in among lovers. But it more fundamentally relates to our relationship with God. When he says, I will lead her into the desert, he's revealing something of how God works so that we will be moved to make space for him in faith. The desert is the place of deprivation, right? Dry, no water, no life. Absolute dependence. So to be brought into the desert is a negative experience. And God allows us to experience absence and suffering and loss and sickness, trials. He allows us to experience these things all the time. And very often our response is, well, why is God punishing me? Why is God allowing me to suffer like this? Well, he's not just punishing. He's not just arbitrarily making people suffer. Lovers don't do that. But lovers do allure their beloved. They draw them into the desert so that the distractions, the interference, whatever is preventing the beloved from responding in love will be eliminated from the picture. So to be drawn into the desert sounds to us like a terrible deprivation, but on the side of God, it's a way to make it possible for us to respond in faith. This father whose child died, little girl died, that was a desert experience for him. What's worse than losing your own child? It was that experience that moved him to Jesus. See, it worked. This woman was sick for 12 years. 12 years she's bleeding. It's a desert experience. It moved her to reach out to Jesus. It worked. And this is what this image from the prophet Hosea tells us. Because he loves us, and because he wants to allure us, he allows us to experience deserts. It's always because of his love. Even though we don't understand it or experience it that way, God is a very persistent, faithful lover. We rejoice that he loves us, that he heals us, that he gives us new life, that he wants to espouse us in love and in mercy, in right and in justice, in fidelity, so that we will know him and be with him forever.